It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Tommy Thompson has written a memoir with journalist Doug Moe. It's simply titled Tommy, My Journey of a Lifetime. And what a journey it has been. Elected to the legislature at age 24, elected governor 20 years later, serving in that capacity for 14 years before heading to a cabinet position in George W. Bush's White House. The man ran for president and Senate, and perhaps most importantly, he started the governor's Harley ride. He's sitting here in studio with me, Tommy Thompson. Welcome to the program.
Well, Carrie, first off, it's an honor to be on your program, and what a charming, nice lady you are.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for moving back to Wisconsin.
Yes.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
And
yay.
Thank you for having me on your wonderful program.
So I want to talk about your book. We've kind of got it mapped out here. It is a wide-ranging book. and one of the things that impressed me the most is that you have an astonishing level of detail. You have remembered every single name of every single person that you seemingly have encountered over the last
40 years. I only wish that was true. I wish that was possible. But I do have a tremendous recall and a great memory, and thanks the good Lord and my parents for those opportunities.
So your political career, one of the things that we notice is that your political career is this sort of mix of strategy and passion. You first ran for legislature at age 24. That took a lot of audacity to say, yeah, I'm 24 years old. I think I can help run the state. You had no money. You had no organization.
Nothing.
What did you have?
I had a lot of ability to work hard. I had a work ethic that was second to none, and I had a desire and a passion, as you said. And I had worked in the Congress as an individual who won a scholarship out there, and saw that Congress, it wasn't that difficult. And some of the individuals that were out there representing us, I didn't think were overly intelligent. And I thought, this is not bad work. I could do this.
This isn't
hard.
Then
I came back and worked in the state Senate, and I felt the same thing. And, I could do a better job. I thought, I've seen and observed and worked in the halls of Congress in the state capitol for years. Even though I was very young, I said, I can do this, and I could probably do it better. And so I decided, let's give it a try.
Yeah, but you were in the state capitals as a kid. Obviously, you had to have something that pushed you there to begin with. What started this passion?
Well, really, this passion started in my father's little country grocery store where I had to work. All of us as a family had to work. It was a family grocery store. And then every Friday night, my father was the chairman of the Road and Bridge Committee for Juneau County. And all the local Pauls and the farmers would come in, would have some beer and some liver sausage and some fresh ground beef and and crackers and cheese, and sit around and we'd discuss the county. And I just loved the wheeling and the dealing at a very young age of these individuals come in and were trying to do what was the best for the county. And my father was the chairman, and he was trying to manipulate and trying to figure out how you could reach a consensus. It was just fascinating for a young individual like me. And I think that started my quest and desire. And then I moved in with some individuals that were very active in as young Republicans and young conservatives.
When you were here going to school,
going
correct?
To school. And, that was sort of an anathema to be going to the University of Wisconsin.
As a young Republican.
And being a young Republican and even further, a young conservative. So I was really on the outs. And so I guess I learned from those individuals and especially from my father.
So one of the things that you address in the book is the art of the light touch, of the little touches, the thank you letters of appreciation. One of the things I should note that happened here is that Governor Thompson walked in and he asked me my name, and he repeated my name, and then he asked Michael his name.
And Brianne, I really love her. She got me off. Right. She got me up here.
Yes.
And this is not the most easy building to get around.
No, this is not the most easy building to get around in. But I felt like you actually cared about what my name was. You actually cared about me. It was a very little touch, but it was an important touch. Talk to me about that.
Well, I we were very poor growing up. And my father, we had the grocery store, and you had to get customers in for the local community. And my mother was a school teacher, and she says, Tommy, it takes less muscles to smile and always say good, and always say good morning.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with having a smile on your face and saying hello. She was an Irish school teacher, and she just loved people. And that's where I love people. I want to know about you. I want to find out about you. I'm happy to find out you lived in Vegas. You lived 23 years in Chicago. That's what you told me.
That is true.
And now you're living back in Wisconsin, and you love it. And I like that. And Michael, I didn't get a chance to talk to him much, but I will. I like to get to know him. That's me. And right. I always told individuals in the legislature, you know, you can come down here and you think that that you can just not talk to the people back home and go back and get elected. You have to do, you know, the mundane things about writing the letters. And I always tell people, I said, you know something? If somebody's taking their time out to write you a note, their time is as precious as yours. Respect it, and respect it by writing back and getting them an answer. Even if you don't agree with them, respond. People expect that. And that's always, I've done that my whole life.
We are talking to Governor Tommy Thompson. He was governor from 1987 to 2001 when he left Wisconsin to become Health and Human Services Secretary under George Bush. We do have a call, Vern, from Boyd. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for letting me talk. Governor Thompson, I would just like to say hi. And like you said, when somebody writes you a letter, I'm the guy that does the earthquake calculation back in 1988.
Yes.
And you wrote me three letters in 1988. And the last one, I went all the way to Madison to leave you a handwritten letter. And you responded. You sent me a letter on 8 December 1988. I'm the guy that calculated that Armenian earthquake.
Yes.
I'm still trying to get help. I'm still calculating earthquakes. But I respect you because you were an official that actually answered my letters.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for calling in from Boyd, Wisconsin. And thank you for what you're doing and being involved. And hopefully you're going to be able to get the resources and the opportunity to show how good you can do it.
I've been doing this a long time, Governor, and you're the most responsive person that I've ever wrote to.
Well,
so
thank you.
I respect that.
I want to get back to thank you very much, Vern.
Yes, thank you, please, Vern, for calling in.
I want to get back to this memoir. You made it plain that you wanted to be governor pretty early on in the legislature, but you waited 20 years. You waited to run till 1986. What made you wait?
Well, you have to build your reputation, your resume. You also have to be able to get around the state and meet people. I had no money, as you know, and didn't have any chance of getting the big money to run like you do today in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to build an organization. The only way I knew I could win is by building an organization county by county and be able to have people in each county that really liked and respected me that would work like me and not quite as hard as I did, but work to build it. And that's why it took a long time because I knew I couldn't advertise. I knew I couldn't get on television. And with this face, you know, television probably is not too kind anyway. So I had to do it by sheer elbow grease and foot leather and getting people organized. That's why it takes some time, and I was able to do that.
When did you know in that first election that you'd won? There's a moment there that you knew you won that first election. Tell us about that. You have about 30 seconds.
My first election, I did not know I won my first election until the day of the election. I had good feeling, but not until the day of the election that I know that I had a good chance to win.
We are talking to Governor Tommy Thompson. He is Wisconsin's longest serving governor. He held office from 1987 to 2001. Wisconsinites, what do you think was his biggest achievement as governor? And what about his biggest regret? Let us know by calling 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're going to be back with Governor Thompson in a moment. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Tommy Thompson loved being governor, and he loved solving problems. After 20 years in the legislature, he moved into the governor's residence in 1987 and stayed for 14 years. There were no shortage of problems for Governor Thompson to solve, as he led the state. We are sitting here with Tommy Thompson right now, and I have to say that I have this habit every time the music plays of dancing before the music, before I talk, and Tommy Thompson is the first guest that I've ever had who dances along with me. I love this.
So, I love your enthusiasm. I get carried away with you. I love people with passion and enthusiasm. I have a great smile, and Carrie, you have it all.
Thank you very much. We're going to talk about one of the first things that challenged you right after you became governor in 1987, and
I became governor, it was the AMC issue that came up, and that was had been elected, but I had not been sworn in.
So you inherited this?
Yeah, well, I inherited, but it was brought to me because they wanted the new governor.
AMC, of course, was a car manufacturer. Most people over a certain age will remember the AMC Pacer had this really horrible habit of blowing up when people just, you know, had a bumper tap to it. And we're laughing, but people actually died. So they were not well-made cars. But they were made in Kenosha. And then Chrysler, just after you took office, Chrysler, with Lee Iacocca at the helm, bought AMC. Talk to me about what happened here.
Well, what really happened is that Joe Cappy was the head of AMC, and they had been working with the union, Union 72, Rudy Kussel. Kussel was the union steward and the union secretary. Tough guy, but really, I got to know him and become a friend, and it was a wonderful thing. And they were talking back and forth, and they thought if they could get a new building, a new auto manufacturing, that they could stay in business and compete. And this is before Chrysler came in and bought it. Mm-hmm. Then Chrysler bought a small interest in it and brought up some of the cars, the manufacturers of cars from Belvedere to Kenosha. And we thought we had a good opportunity. And that's when Joe Cappy, before I became sworn in as governor, he called me and says, could I really come and talk to you and see if we could develop a partnership to build a new plant, a new automobile plant. And if you do that, I think we can have automobile manufacturing in Wisconsin for a long time.
So two things come up here. One is that the state gave AMC $200 million in assistance. Did that happen before you became governor? Did you inherit that, or was that your decision?
The $200 million never really came to pass.
Okay, talk to me about that.
It never came to pass. That's what they wanted, and we were talking about that. But before we even came to a conclusion on how much money we're going to invest in it, they had to renegotiate the contract. And then Chrysler bought an interest in it, and that delayed it. Then they thought that Chrysler was going to bring more manufacturing to Kenosha, and they needed a new plant. And then they had to reevaluate the contract between the union and the company. And so that's what was going on when Chrysler bought out the total amount and then stopped everything.
So did Joe Cappy know that Chrysler was going to do this?
No, nobody did.
Nobody did?
It was an interesting thing. I had already been sworn in by this time, and they were negotiating in the old Hotel Pfister all night, and they wanted me to come down and try and get both sides together. The union was being a little bit recalcitrant and making the next deal, and Joe Cappy wanted me to come down in the morning, and they had been negotiating all day and all night. They thought that if they came in all night and worked all, they might be able to reach an agreement if I came in and pushed them. So I was going to be the individual trying to coalesce the management and the union into a contract, at which time the state would come in with some dollars to build a new automobile plant. And I was already in Milwaukee, walking into the Hotel Pfister when it was announced that Chrysler just bought out AMC, and it stopped everything. And the union was fit to be tied because they thought they had a deal. They were making concessions. The company was happy. I was happy. The state, I think, was very happy that we were going to have an automobile manufacturing AMC in Wisconsin for a long time. And then it all blew up.
See, one of the interesting things, looking at what is happening now, I knew about this AMC thing, and I knew there was a factory in Kenosha, and I didn't really pay attention to the details at the time that much. I was pretty young then, but when I look now, Kenosha is in the southeast part of the state.
Yes.
They lost a major manufacturing company. They lost this organization. We talk now about Foxconn coming into that
That's
part of
true.
The state to replace the history of manufacturing there. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about they used to make cars.
They did. And the problem was, Kerry, is that the old plant was a mattress factory.
Mm.
And it was up three stories. So you had to, instead of having a long line of building and putting parts together and coming out with a car, it had to go up second floor and third floor. It was a mattress factory, rehabilitated. And so they needed a new plant. And then Chrysler came in and stopped everything. And Kenosha was almost a one manufacturing community.
Mm.
If the car manufacturer, AMC did well, Kenosha did well. If it was down, Kenosha didn't do well. And so we decided when I was governor, after Chrysler moved out, and we had one heck of a fight with Lee Iacocca,
mm-hmm.
and that's in the book.
And you almost sued him.
What?
You almost sued Chrysler, right?
Oh, we did. We came very close to it, and Lee Iacocca almost got into a fist fight with my secretary of administration. He lunged over the table at him. Mm-hmm. It was a very contentious time. But the truth of the matter was, we decided after Chrysler moved out, it was going to close down. The majority part of the plant. They still kept a motor engine plant there and for about 1,000 employees, but we decided to diversify Kenosha. And so Kenosha is diversified, and Kenosha is doing better today than it has ever done because it's more diversified, more people are coming, and Kenosha is really a wonderful, great community, and it's doing very, very well. But people at that time thought it was going to die
right.
with the AMC leaving and Chrysler turning up and down. And that's why it was so contentious, because it was the whole city. It was the city was around automobile manufacturing, and then it stopped, and they thought the city would go. But instead, just the opposite. People came together, it's diversified. Kenosha is blossoming and is flourishing like never before.
We are talking with Governor Tommy Thompson, he has written a memoir, actually, called My Journey of a Lifetime. Simply, Tommy, My Journey of a Lifetime. Foxconn is going into the southeastern area right now.
Yes.
What are the lessons that we should take from AMC that might inform us about Foxconn?
You got to have really strong contracts, because Chrysler made some promises, and our contract was not as binding as it probably should have been. And it was new. It was one of these things where the city was going to do some things, the county was going to, the state was. And we were trying to put it together and keep Chrysler there. And we really didn't have the opportunity. It was too far down the line to really negotiate a new contract. Foxconn, on the other hand, is really a green industry coming in completely new, and you got a chance to really set it up correctly, build a new plant, and really be able to make things happen. And so I think Scott Walker and the team have done that.
I want to move to what you call the headline grabber of your governorship, welfare reform. This was something you put in your first budget, and it caused quite a stir at the time. So talk to me about this. Why was this important to you?
Was important because Wisconsin was a magnet state for people on welfare coming up from all over. They used to have even signs in Chicago, the bus depot. I never saw them personally, but I heard about them, that if you go to Wisconsin, spend $25 for a bus ticket, you can go to Wisconsin, sign up for welfare, get your check every month, and go back and live in Chicago. People were doing it.
Interesting.
People were monitoring and watching. The New York Times and other newspapers came in and actually took pictures of people doing that. And so Wisconsin was being taken advantage of, and people were very frustrated. Our welfare benefits were higher than any of the surrounding states, and as a result of that, people were coming in here to get on welfare, and that was... That
Didn't
was
you have to live here?
Well, you're supposed to, but but nobody's checking on you, so,
right, right.
So if you signed up and have an address, you can get a check, and people were actually doing that.
So welfare changes are very much still on the minds of political leaders here.
Right.
Do you have anything that you wish you had done differently in terms of welfare reform informs what we're doing now?
No, I was very generous. What I did is something nobody else has ever done. I called welfare recipients in to the executive residence and had lunch with them on a every other week. The people that really helped me support and get welfare reform were welfare mothers who came and had lunch with me. I wouldn't let them bring anybody else but themselves, and I wouldn't bring any of my assistants in. I just sat down with welfare mothers and talked about, why are you on welfare? What can we do? And that's how we really constructed welfare reform. Plus, I brought in a Democrat state senator to run the department, so I had bipartisan help that way.
That was Tim Cullen, right?
Tim Cullen, great guy.
And what is it that made you choose him? Why did he say yes?
I don't know why he said yes. You'll have to talk to him.
Because I will.
He's a great guy, and I never thought he was, because I thought he was going to run against me in 4 years, mm-hmm. and everybody was talking about he was going to be my next opponent. And so when Jim Clouser, my secretary of administration, knew Tim Cullen better than I did, even though we served in different capacities, in different houses, different parties, I was shocked when Tim said he would consider it. And then we came up with, what department would you like to run? And he first was transportation. That was his first choice.
Okay, so we're going to talk about first-choice transportation in a moment. We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson, and we are asking you to share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Tommy Thompson was the governor of Wisconsin for 14 years. Before that, he served in the legislature for 20 years. And after he was governor, he became George W. Bush's Secretary of Health and Human Services. But that is not the job he wanted. He starts out his book, Tommy, My Journey of a Lifetime, by talking about the fact that he wanted to be the Secretary of Transportation. We have Tommy Thompson in the studio right now, and I'm going to let you tell that story, Tommy.
Well, I had been on Amtrak board for 4 years under George H.W. Bush. And then when Bill Clinton was president, he asked me to go back on the Amtrak board as a Republican because he needed to get Michael Dukakis, a Democrat governor, who he and I did not like at the beginning, and was going to be on it. And
Clinton
said,
didn't like him either?
No, Dukakis didn't like. Dukakis and I did not get along beginning, but we became fast friends after we served together. And so I was on there, and I had started up, I grew up in a railroad community, and at the age of 12, we used to jump on freights and ride the freights from one end of Elroy to another, and then we'd jump off. You know, we could have gotten hurt, but luckily we didn't. And from that day, you know, seeing the railroads and jumping on a freight, you know, illegally, right. and probably not the safest thing for somebody age 12, but me and my buddies did that constantly. And nobody knew about it, but I just loved railroads. And so that's why when I was on Amtrak, we started to sell the high-speed trains between Washington and New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if I was going to go to Washington, which I really was not that excited about doing, I did not like giving up the governorship because I love being governor. But when I did, I thought, you know, if I was able to get high-speed train from Washington to New York, why could we not have, like Dwight Eisenhower built, the interstates across America? Why don't we have high-speed rails across America? And so I thought if I was Secretary of Transportation, I could possibly get that done, and I could make George W. Bush the transportation president that I think he could have been.
Okay, so we don't have high-speed rail across
America.
No,
we don't.
We don't even have high-speed rail across Wisconsin, even though that was something that was going to be getting done. What's stopping this?
Well, what stopped it was, of course, is that you got to have a movement. You got to have people supported, and you got to have people in Congress wanting to do it. And there's just not the desire to spend the money. There's more of a desire to spend money for other things than for high speed rails. And there wasn't a president or a leader really pushing it. You got to have either the president or a governor pushing it, which I pushed when I was governor. But Walker, not. And I'm not disagreeing with him. You know, Walker has chosen to go a different direction.
Current Governor Scott Walker.
And that's his prerogative, or their prerogative.
Right. You took the HHS job. What was your goal there in taking that job?
Well, George W. Bush said, when he asked me to become a cabinet secretary, he said, you can't be state, you're not going to be Department of Defense, but you can have You can either choose transportation, HHS, and I think it could have, if I would have pushed, I could have gotten something else. But I love transportation, and I love the fact that HHS was there. And George W. Bush, on the second interview, he said, I really want you to take HHS. It's bigger, it's got more complexity, and I need somebody there I really trust. And I want you to take that if you would. And that's when I decided that if the president wants you to do it, if he wants you to be in the cabinet, and he really wants you to do it, he would have given me transportation, but I really would have pushed for it. Mm-hmm. But he said, I really want you to go HHS. And so that's why I took it.
So talk to me about the difference between being a cabinet secretary and running an entire federal department and running a state.
There's a huge difference because running the state, you can wake up in the morning with a new idea and have people around you, you know, working on it by 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, you can move very fast. I found when I was secretary, I had to get buy-in from about 70,000 employees who didn't think secretaries were that smart. Then it had to go over to the super god of our society. I didn't know we had a super god in our society. It's the Office of Management and Budget. Mm. And they turn you down 4 times out of 5 just to show you who the boss is. And then if you get by them, then it goes over to the super intelligentsia. It's the young college student who has worked on a campaign and has never had a job and has gotten invited into the White House to be somebody, and they think that there's nothing intelligent at all that can come out of a cabinet thing. And if you get by the super intelligentsia in the White House, who always are pretty egotistical and arrogant, and then it goes to the president. The president buys it and sends it on to Congress. It's time to retire because it's taken that long.
Right.
So as governor, you can move fast, and when you are in the department, it moves much slower.
We are talking to Governor Tommy Thompson. He, of course, is the longest-serving governor in Wisconsin history. One of the things you did, Governor Thompson, is school choice. Yes. You said that that was one of the hardest fights and most satisfying accomplishments of your time as governor. Why?
Well, because when I looked at Milwaukee, I was sick and tired of building prisons. I really feel, you know, that I built too many prisons, and I wanted to change that. But with young, especially young black males dropping out of school, at high school, at the age whatever, you know, if you started out as a freshman black student in Milwaukee, about 60 to 65% of those would not graduate. And I thought, what a waste.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I went down and talked to a lot of the black ministers in Milwaukee and a lot of parents. And I said, what's wrong? They said, we're sick and tired of busing our children from the inner cities in Milwaukee out to the suburbs.
Yeah.
Why can't we send them down to the school right down the block? And it may be a Catholic school, it may be a Lutheran school, it may be a non-denomination, but a church school. And I said, why can't we send our children there? And I thought, you know, that makes sense. And the ministers told me, don't bus our students.
Right.
Don't bus our children.
Busing was still happening then.
Oh, absolutely. And so I decided to go back and try a religious choice. That was too big of a bite. So I had to take just a choice program and allow parents, non-religious schools, to be able to put their children into non-religious schools. And then eventually we got to religious schools, which is now the way. But it was a terribly tough fight because the unions were against us, the organization was against us, and most of the people in the legislature were opposed to it.
So I got it. You detail in your book that this was a bipartisan bill that went through. But why not build more schools, public schools, down the block from where people lived in Milwaukee make them good public schools? Why not that choice?
You could have done that, but why build more schools when you already have schools in the community? And there was not the appetite to build more buildings because the schools were already there. And to build another school that was failing was not, of the same type was not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing to do the same, you know, is sort of the topic of insanity.
So that sounds like an indictment of public schools.
No, it is not, Carrie. I love public schools. My wife was a school teacher. My mother and father were both school teachers. My grandfather was. I come from a family of educators. I'm the only black sheep of the thing. I went in to become a lawyer. But but I love teachers and I love public schools. I just wanted competition because I wanted these young individuals in Milwaukee to get an education and not drop out of school. And I was looking at ways, not to indict anybody, but to find ways to encourage parents more parental involvement, more students staying in school. That was my goal because I didn't want to build any more prisons. I wanted them to stay in school, graduate, and become active citizens.
And I should note that it was a Democrat who proposed this bill and saw it through, correct?
That is correct.
We're taking calls here before
Well, it was actually, I proposed the bill, and she changed it and brought it in, Polly Williams, but we drafted it.
Okay. We are taking some calls here. John from Richland Center, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I wanted to congratulate Governor Thompson for his excellent character and personality. What is your secret to being a good politician? And I have a comment that the best time I've heard Governor Thompson on the radio when he was running for president, he said to his local opponent that he claims to be red, white, and blue, but when he gets done with him, he's going to be black and blue.
Thank you, John. So what is your secret?
John, thank you very much for calling in and being so kind. Being nice to people. And first, love people. Be nice to them. Be courteous. And always try and do what is the right thing. And be very transparent about it, because people got to know what you're doing, and they got to respect what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it underhandedly. You got to do it above board, and you got to tell people where you're going and why you're going and why it's important for them to buy into it.
So John brought up something that I did want to ask you about. You did run for president briefly in 2008.
And I never got out of Iowa.
What happened?
Well, I didn't have any money, and I waited too long. I should have run for president in 1996. When I was at the height of my popularity in the country. And I didn't. I deferred it because people were trying to talk me out of it. And that was a mistake on my part. I should have listened to my gut who said run. And I waited until 2008 after I had been out of the governorship for many years, for almost 8 years. And then I was out of politics for 2 years when I decided to run for president. And I had great ideas, but no money and no organization. And I had to start building from front. And I just was unable to do it. I couldn't get out of Iowa.
You never even got out of the straw poll, right?
I went to the straw poll and I did not win. And that's when I decided to drop.
We are talking to Governor Tommy Thompson and Steve from Sun Prairie. You have about 30 seconds, Steve. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. You know, Tommy, you're just a great guy and proud to have you as governor. I just wonder, in today's climate where, you know, the news media and the politicians will just call any Republican racist, sexist, homophobic, you name it. Even the host here kind of was going after you a little bit because of school choice. How would you handle that, considering, you know, Mitt Romney was a likable guy, McCain's a likable guy?
Steve, thank you very much. I'm going to give Tommy Thompson the opportunity to answer that when we get back from break. We are sitting here talking to Governor Thompson, and you can call us 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking this hour with Tommy Thompson, who is simply known as in Wisconsin as governor. Thompson has been out of the governor's mansion since 2001. He served as Secretary of Health and Human Services under George W. Bush, and then he ran for president briefly and later Senate. He is sitting in studio with us today. So, Governor Thompson, let's answer Steve's question. How do you deal with the divisiveness of today?
I got to correct one thing. I'm not known as governor. I'm known as Tommy.
You are known as Tommy. That
I'm the
true.
Only person I think that's ever run for public office and got elected governor. Everybody knows him just as Tommy.
Okay.
And I think that, and I say that because, not to correct you, but to lead into the answer. You have to be friendly. You have to be transparent. And you got to be open and civil. The civility in politics is left. And I'm hoping that we can get back to that, because I think there are good ideas on both sides. And I think what the problem is, got politics has become a sort of a profession of hatred. Mm. We try and demonize the other side. And I don't like that. When I was governor, Democrats controlled both the Senate and the House and most of the other elected positions. And I knew I had to work with Democrats. And I used to call them in, and I would do the same thing today. I would call in my opposition and people on welfare. I brought in welfare mothers to have lunch at the executive residence. They never thought they'd be invited out there and then to have an hour and a half lunch with the governor and be able to talk about why they're on welfare and how to get off. I would do the same thing today. I bring in people. When people used to demonstrate against me, it was interesting. People came out against me when I was on welfare, and they'd have marchers out there. I'd go out and offer them coffee and bring water out to the gate and say, sit down and tell me why you're opposed. And it'd be amazing that they'd say, well, first, here they'd be carrying a sign, you know, about against me. But then they'd, then they'd ask if they could put down their sign and have a picture with me. So I'd go out to people that were actually going against me, and I would sit down with them and talk to them. My security would go wild about it. Mm-hmm. But I found the best thing to do was to go and just let people talk and give people an opportunity. That's what I think is lacking right now, the respect for each other and the opportunity to converse.
I want to point out a couple of things that are missing from your book, which yes. I kind of scoured. I look here in the index, as I am wont to do, and I look under W, and I see W-A-L-D. I see W-A-L-L. In between there, there's a K. There is no mention of Scott Walker in this book. That's kind of a significant omission. Why did you not mention him?
No, I don't think that's an omission at all, because Scott Walker was county exec at the tail end, but he was not that active in my administration, and so this was about what I was accomplishing, and Scott Walker was not part of it. It was not an omission or any.
So you were just telling the story of your life.
I was telling my story.
Want to talk about what's going on
today in this
book.
No, absolutely not. People should not read into it. This was about my life and what I was doing and how we were able to work together to get things done.
Okay, so I want to move forward around 2010.
Okay.
There was a Senate race. You were thinking of getting into this Senate race. You did not. You talked about your gut and trusting your gut earlier.
Yeah.
Is this something that you regret, not getting into a Senate race against Russ Feingold in 2010?
It was the right time to do it, and Ron Johnson won, and I know I would have won if I would have run, and I think most people thought I would. But my family really did not want me to run, and that's what made the difference. If I would have listened to my gut, I would have run, but I really defer to my family. They've been so good to me that I just thought it was time for me to take care of them. I was doing well in the business world, and I thought I should be taking care of them, and they really did not want to go into the campaign.
And you did run in 2012.
That I did.
So what made you change your mind there?
I think I wanted to run, and I convinced my family, and they said, all right, one more time, we'll try it. And so they knew I loved politics and government more than I liked the business world. And so they were willing to defer and give me that opportunity. So it was sort of a metamorphosis type of thing, and you grow into it, and the family was supportive.
You are 75 years old?
I'm 76.
You're 76 years old. Is there another candidate Thompson that we might see? Is there another office you may run for?
Let me just say there's always a burning fire inside of me, especially during election time right now, that I think I should be on the ballot and I think I should be running. So I'm never going to say never, even though I'm getting to that age that I probably should. But I still think there's one more campaign in me that I would like to run, and I don't know why. I hope my family's not listening, because they will say, the guy has really lost his marbles now. But I would love, you know, I love the sport. I love leading. I love politics, and I love government.
I want to get to this question here. You've described Wisconsin as a place where eagles soar and Harleys roar. And as governor, you led, as I opened with, you led the first governor's Harley ride. Here's a clip from you in 1988 in a debate against Ed Garvey, where you addressed the Harley ride's role in the Wisconsin experience.
Wisconsin's the state, and remember this, where Harleys roar, eagles soar, Packers score, and with your help, we can do more.
Packers score is another one as we head into football season this weekend. So Harley has made a lot of news recently because they have shipped some of their manufacturing out of the country to avoid the steel tariffs that are happening now. What do you think about this, and what are you watching in terms of tariffs and trade coming out of this administration?
Well, first off, I don't like tariffs, and I like the opportunity for companies to be able to trade, and that's what America and Wisconsin needs. That Wisconsin needs to have the ability to trade. We cannot survive as a state without international trade. So I'm personally opposed to tariffs, but I can understand President Trump trying to get a better deal for America. I like that in him. But the truth of the matter, companies have got to be able to do what is best for themselves and their shareholders.
We want to take one more caller, Mark from Waukesha. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Carrie and Tommy. I appreciate you taking my call. Got a quick question for you, Tommy. So when you were governor, you obviously dealt with quite a few very contentious issues through the state. You were governor for quite a long time, and you had the ability to bring people together for a common cause and move the state forward. And I would just like to hear your thoughts and comments on our current governor's kind of divide and conquer, divisive stance, because it seems like the state's kind of falling apart. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm not going to criticize anybody in public life today. I want people in public life today. It's a tough job, and I'm not there, so I'm not going to criticize. But I do love people bringing together. When I was governor, the Democrats used to come in every week, and we sat down and talked and how we could work together to better the state of Wisconsin. I think the lack of civility in politics today on both sides is something that we should not be proud of. And I think we should be working closer together, because Democrats have good ideas, Republicans have good ideas, and the problem is we're not listening to each other. And what we need to do in America and in wherever we are is to start being willing to concede that other sides do have some ideas, and thinking that we're all knowing and all powerful and should be the only ones that are being heard.
Thank you for that call. Governor, I want to end really quickly with this. You end your book with Tommy's Tenants. And I'm going to read a few of them. There are 10 of them. There are 10 Tommy Thompson commandments here. Love life and have fun. Today is the best day of the rest of your life. Spend time with your family and love them. They're the only ones who will always be there for you. Never trade an old friend for a new friend. And the last one, I'm going to skip down to the last one because it's my favorite. Never pass up the chance to use a restroom. What is the one piece of advice that you would give somebody who's going into politics these days?
Be nice, be friendly, love people, because it's the people that are going to keep you there. And as I said about your family, love your family, be with them. And you missed the one that I really like the best. And if you're in politics, my father taught me in early age, you have two ears and one mouth, Tommy. Use them in that proportion and you'll get ahead. And that is lacking in today's politics.
Tommy G. Thompson is Wisconsin's longest-serving governor from 1987 to 2001. Then he became HHS secretary, and he is the author of Tommy, My Journey of a Lifetime. Governor Thompson, thank you for being here.
It's my honor, and thank you for being such a wonderful announcer. And thank you, Michael.